Mike is muted. I just pulled the Zoom idiot move on a live stream. There you go. So hello everyone, and thanks for hanging out today. I'm sad to tell you that today the front of house area here with all of my other guests or hosts is empty. So some weeks we have 15, 20 people trying to get in, and other weeks we have no one. So today we have no one. And so here I am. It's me. It's me and you at the front of house on the venue. So hello, thank you for hanging out. I appreciate it very much. If you do want to join me at the front of house, just if you have my number, shoot me a text. If you have a if you're on Facebook or YouTube or LinkedIn and you want to just post a comment and say, hey, invite me to the front of house, I got something I really want to talk about, go ahead and do that. Put that comment in and I will try to direct message you the link to join me here on this live stream. So there you have it. A couple of things I wanted to talk about, whether or not anyone else shows up. And so first and foremost, RIP Dusty Hill from ZZ Top. I actually just read about it, I don't know, a half hour ago or something. Someone sent me a link about it. And, you know, like a lot of people in this business and in general in life at our age, I grew up with ZZ Top and, you know, their songs. There's so many of their songs that tie into a part of my history and my memory, and all of you as well. So sad to see him go, only 72 years old. That used to be old when I was about 20. I used to think, wow, 70, that's incredible. I'd take that right now. That's old. But, you know, today you look around at all the rock stars that are out there still performing at 72 years old at a very high level. And, you know, I always go back to like Sammy Hagar and Steven Tyler and guys like that who are, you know, in their 70s now and they're kicking ass. Paul Stanley from Kiss, Gene Simmons from Kiss. You know, I mean, all these guys are 70 or older and still kicking ass and you know, doing it well. And they're not, you know, some of them are just kind of sitting on a stool and you know, collecting a paycheck. But for the most part, the guys I'm talking about, Steven Tyler, Sammy Hagar, those guys are still kicking ass. You know, they're still jumping up and down and doing these leg kick things and, you know, going in for hip replacement surgery and stuff, which is kind of funny. But anyways, yeah. So, I mean, 72 ain't old anymore. And another funny side note. So, I remember my girlfriend is British and she's been in this country for about 7 years now. And if she's listening or watching, she's going to kill me for telling you. But, I remember I was listening to something or whatever. I had a video playing and she goes, who's that ZZ Top? And I laughed and I still laugh when I say it because it's kind of funny. ZZ Top. I'm from Canada and even in Canada, we called them ZZ Top. So anyways, RIP Dusty, you know, again, brutal times, you know, way too many of these rock stars and friends of ours in the industry who are dying. And, you know, everyone always looks for the little tag at the end that says COVID related, but most of these aren't. Like, I don't know, 95% of them aren't. It's just, you know, it's our industry, it's our world, it's rock stars, it's, you know, living hard, living, you know, like there is no tomorrow and just having a good time. And so sometimes that takes you down. You know, another thing that's been really weird for me lately anyways, is that I've got two people in my circle. I would call them friends, but both of them have sort of fallen out with out of my world, I guess, a little bit. But certainly people whose kids I watched grow up and who I've been very close with at times in my life, but two people whose daughters have now passed away at a very young age, sadly. One at 21 and one at 23, very similar circumstances, extremely sad. You know, again, both kids I've known almost since birth, one of them since birth, and just sad. You know, I mean, no parent, as they say, should have to go through that. You don't want to have to bury your kids. There's all these cliche things that you say, but you know, when you see it close, it's just really, really sad, and it's just a drag. So anyways, let's get off of the dying thing, because you know, whether it's Dusty Hill or somebody else, it's always a sad thing. So I was watching another live stream earlier today, and it's a couple of friends of mine. One is a former football coach who's now a trainer, a coach for business people, for sales teams. He does sales training and coaching for, you know, sales managers, directors, large companies, small companies, whatever. And the other gentleman is the head of sales for about a 1,200 person sales team for a pretty large company here in Florida. And he also happens to own the development team that works with my company to develop software. And just a couple of really smart guys, really good guys, but they're doing a live stream now. And I wish I could remember what it's called, because I would tell you it's called, damn it. I forget what it's called, but they're doing a live stream now, and it's like a little 5-minute coaching thing. And every day they talk about a different topic. And today they talked about one thing that was about actively seeking a different point of view. So basically, let's use the very easiest example, which is politics. You know, if you're on the right, actively seeking the opinions and point of views of people on the left, instead of starting flame wars with them and nuking them and knocking them out of your friend group and defriending them and disconnecting and all of those things, or yelling at them or attacking them. How about actually talking to them and learning what they think and understanding why they think they do, as opposed to just saying you're wrong because we disagree? And that goes for both sides, whether you're on the right or the left or the top or the bottom or whatever. I don't really care. I'm just saying that, you know, instead of turning it into a reason to separate, how about turning it into a reason to pull closer together and find out more about what each other's thinking and you know, the direction you're going or whatever it is. I mean, I just think there's so much more to be gained from that than there is from, you know, fighting and saying you're an asshole because you voted for Trump, or you're an asshole because you voted for Biden, or you're just an asshole, period, and I don't like you because of that, or because you have funny hair, or because you're wearing a black t-shirt, or whatever it is. You know, just finding reasons to separate yourselves and you know, just be on completely opposite wavelengths. So I always liked some of Thomas Jefferson's quotes, but this one in particular is pretty interesting. I never considered a difference of opinion in politics, in religion, in philosophy as cause for withdrawing from a friend. And, you know, without getting into politics, as I've been accused of doing, I will say that I have not defriended a single person for their political views, religious views. I've defriended a lot of people for being assholes or for being, you know, nasty or for being just shitty people. But I cannot tell you a single person, not one, that I've defriended because of who they voted for, because who they pray to, because of who they sleep with, because of any of those reasons. And I don't really know that many people who do that either. I do know a few people, and there's a few really great examples that I won't share with you right now, but one that I've shared with many of you already, where a particular individual in our industry, in the lighting industry, went out and very publicly on social media said that, you know, if you voted for a particular person, the gloves are off now. It's time that you just get out of my friend list. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want any part of you. I will never work for you. You'll never work for me. We'll never work together. And you just need to be gone, basically. And I was so offended by that post. And I'm not a person that gets offended. You know, I've got pretty strong shoulders for the most part. You can call me anything you want. Like I said, you can vote for anyone, pray to anyone, whatever it is. I don't care. But when you tell me that we can't be friends and we can never work together, and you'll make sure that I never work with you on any job or any sale or any deal or any whatever because of those views, you know, that's just stupid. Like, you know, it's not that, by the way, I never defriended the person, but I completely disagree with what they say. And this person was so belligerent that I couldn't even pick up the phone, because usually I will. Usually I'll pick up the phone and I'll say, hey, you know, like, there's a few people in the industry, John Featherstone and I don't always see eye to eye on politics, but we always reach out to each other and we go, hey, what are you thinking on that? Like, you know, explain that to me. Why do you, and we talk. We talk like friends who love each other and adults and respect each other and all of those things. So, you know, it's a weird situation when you get to a point where, you know, you're literally knocking people out of your network and your friend group because of things like who they voted for. I mean, you know, or, you know, who they sleep with. I mean, because you come out as gay or straight or whatever, I should knock you out of my friend group. That's ridiculous. Why do I care? You know, is that hurting me? Is that causing me any problems? Of course not. It's stupid. So, anyways, these gentlemen this morning on this this thing called Path. There you go. I just remembered what it's called. It's called Path. They do a live stream every morning at, like, I think it's 8 o'clock or 7:30 in the morning. And for whatever reason, I happen to be up every time they're doing it. And it gives me a little reminder saying, hey, these guys are about to start. So I watch them. It's 5 minutes long or sometimes 10. And so anyways, they said that you should actively seek a different point of view. And if you're on the left, for example, politically, you should try to read 3 right-leaning posts. If you're on the right, same thing in reverse, or articles. You should follow people. You know, occasionally I put on the news network that I don't normally watch. By the way, I don't really watch any news anymore because there's nothing good about it, except for one thing, which I want to talk about in a minute. But and one of the things is, if it pisses you off what you're reading, like if you're reading a post or something and it pisses you off, read more of that, because it's engaging you. It's getting you to seek a different point of view. It's getting you to open your mind, open your eyes, and just take a different look at things. So I think that that's a really good thing. I think it's worthwhile. It's worth doing. And I loved when these guys talked about it this morning, so I wanted to bring that up. The news that I was talking about was actually the first bit of good news I think I've seen, I don't know, all year. I mean, you never see good news, but today I saw this little piece of good news. And I got to be honest, I haven't watched any of the Olympics. Why? I don't know. I just didn't. Nothing about it seemed, you know, too exciting to me. I don't know. It started with weird politics and protesting and stuff. And I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't like that there's no fans. I think they maybe should have canceled it, as much as I don't like anything being canceled anymore. But if you can barely pull it off, maybe that's telling you something. Maybe it shouldn't happen, at least not where it was happening. But whatever, they went forward with it. It appears to be doing okay for what it is. But, you know, one of the cool things that happened, a piece of news that I saw today that someone forwarded to me, was this girl, Lydia Jacoby, probably, 17-year-old girl from Alaska. If you haven't seen it, she's a swimmer and wasn't expected to win and went out and won the gold. And the video that I saw was a split screen where on half the screen you saw her school, I think it was a high school in a small town in Alaska, jumping up and down and cheering and freaking out, cheering her on while she was swimming. And then on the other half of the screen, you see her swimming and beating everyone else in the race. And just, you know, I didn't read into it further. I basically looked at the headline in the video. I don't have the whole story. If anyone has more information, post it in the comments here. But just a really feel-good, nice story. This is the kind of news that I like to see. It's the kind of news I think we should all be watching for, as opposed to, you know, this guy's an asshole, that guy's an asshole, this country's doing this, this country's doing that. God forbid COVID, you know, I don't want to talk about that anymore. I know most of you don't either. By the way, I finally get to go to Canada, which is kind of cool. Don't know when, but someday. So yeah, that was something that I thought was pretty interesting. So, you know, a couple other things that we've already talked about, supply chain problems are impacting our industry in a big way. We've talked about this almost ad nauseum, I guess. But one of the things I'm watching, because I happen to own a used equipment company, GearSource, is I'm watching used gear prices go up. And it started with things like the MA2. You know, the MA3 is gaining in popularity finally, because I think many of you are starting to get more access to it. You're getting more comfortable with it, and it appears to be doing okay now. But MA2s have just, you know, they've gone from where you could get them for $12,000-$13,000 to now they're like $24,000-$26,000 for an MA2. And, you know, certainly a lot of them sell cheaper than that. You can generally find one for $18,000-$20,000, I guess, if you look. But used gear prices have gone up. Moving light prices have gone up. And not just the latest, most popular stuff. Some of the stuff, like, you know, not that Vipers are bad. Vipers are great. But Vipers are lamp-based. They're not an LED. They've got a lamp in them. And, you know, Vipers are considered being sort of the old news, and now the new news is all these super bright LED fixtures from like Alation and from Ayrton and from Robe and from certainly Martin has the Martin Mac Ultra, which is, you know, they're all sort of, you know, here's the Viper and they're all kind of up here. But you know, the Viper was sort of for a minute there being forgotten, and we were seeing prices plummeting on Vipers. And now all of a sudden we've seen them start going like this again. And, you know, we just sold some Vipers yesterday or the day before. I think they were Viper Performance for the highest price that I've seen them sell for in the last probably 6 months or more. So, why is that? The reason is because of shortages, because of supply chain problems, because manufacturers sadly were caught with their pants on their ankles, and it's no fault to the manufacturers whatsoever, because manufacturers were some of the hardest hit by this COVID thing because they had these massive inventories to carry. So not only did they have staff and all the other things that we all had and you know, no revenue or a lack of revenue, they had these huge inventories and therefore probably financing, you know, bank debt, et cetera, to carry this inventory. And so, you know, they carried this inventory for the entire COVID. And then all the talk and the belief and the understanding was that designers were going to spec old products, whatever companies had in their shops. So manufacturers, and I've had this talk very recently with a lot of top manufacturers who said, although the industry is going to come back in 2021, we're not coming back until 2022. Guess what? They were wrong. And so we've spoken before about one of the lighting manufacturers who has been actively telling customers that they're completely sold out of everything until December, I think, now. And literally they have nothing to sell you. Maybe some of their oldest stuff that nobody wants or whatever, but they don't have any of their sort of hot or current lights available until at least December. You know, that's insanity. I mean, you had to go 18 months with no sales virtually. And now finally, it's just a bit of a barn burner of a selling season for these companies, and they have no product to sell. I'm hearing that from a lot of companies. There's a couple companies who are like, I've still got a little bit of inventory left, but most of the major companies are running out very quickly of inventory. And that means, you know, for rental companies, you're probably being forced to look back into the corner of your shop and go, okay, those Vipers that we were getting ready to sell on GearSource or whatever, we need to kind of dust those off and relamp them and get them ready to go out on tour because, you know, they're replacing product X, whatever that is. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It kind of goes full circle on that whole conversation that we had where, you know, bands and productions were going to just use whatever you had in your shop. It's kind of getting back to that, you know, like because really everyone behaved a little differently than we thought they were going to. The bands didn't beat people up as much as we thought they were going to. We thought, you know, the bands and productions were going to come to the shops and say, hey, you need to drop your price because, you know, we need this or we didn't get this or, you know, our costs are higher or whatever. That hasn't happened very much because most companies aren't willing to drop the price. Most companies are saying, fine, if you can get it somewhere else, go for it. And as companies are getting busier, that's happening more and more where you're just saying no. And so that's not necessarily a bad thing. And, you know, that's just that's going through the whole chain of everyone. I mean, everyone basically is behaving a little bit differently than we expected. Designers are demanding more new product than we expected. And it's they're holding these specs, too. So they're saying, I insist that I get Mac Ultras on my next show. And the spec is able to hold that. And they are getting Mac Ultras on their next show or Robe BMFLs or, you know, Ayrton Huracans or whatever it is, you know, they're able to hold that spec and get that product. And, you know, that's a good thing. That's as long as the industry can handle that and everyone is, you know, profitable and productive and, you know, and I'm talking to a lot of companies that are saying Q4 is going to surpass Q4 of 2019, which was a record quarter for most companies in our industry. So, you know, if that happens, I mean, that's just tremendous. That's amazing. That's, you know, guys like me and John Wiseman and Loader and Ben and all these guys who were sitting back predicting what was going to happen. And well, this is what's going to happen here. And then it's going to be this. And that. We were wrong. You know, we were just like, oh God, you know, we were so wrong. And not because we're not smart or anything, because I think most of us were kind of a little bit smart. We kind of knew what we were talking about. But at the end of the day, I mean, the market just performed differently than we expected. I don't know if everyone's posting comments or not, because for whatever reason, my thing here is broken and it's not telling me that there's comments. So if you are posting comments and I'm not responding to you, I'm very sorry. But I am just not able to see these comments like I used to be able to for some reason. I am going to try to open up some other platforms and see if I can see the comments, though, because then, there's a bunch of comments, loads of comments, Jesus. So let me get to some of these comments. Lynn said, hi, Marcel, I have a topic. Things are getting very bad in Orlando, so some venues are going to be requiring masks again. That's bound to happen. Marcia said, I did publicity for their worldwide Texas tour. Very sad. He was a great guy. She's talking about Dusty, of course. Didn't Mick Jagger just turn 78? I think you're right. Hello, Ramona. Yes, also very sad. Blah, 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 blah. Competition between athletes never gets stale. The thrill of a race. I believe the youngest to win gold. Yes, she was 17 years old. Seems like there would have been a lot of other 17-year-old people who won gold. Can they possibly go out of business with no inventory? And yes, John Lervier, I am going to read your comment. You suck. You suck as well, John. And that's very good. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad I rushed over and read these comments. Amazing. Anyways. What's happening here? There we are. I'm back. So the next thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, along the same lines, gear shortages and what we were just talking about, supply chain and everything else. So are these problems impacting your business? In other words, you know, is this something where, you know, you're actually seeing, you know, you're either losing shows, you're running out of gear and having to use other gear, you're losing money, you're having to buy gear that you can't afford to buy. You know, I'd love to hear more stories from people with, you know, just who are impacted by this, who are having trouble with this. People are banging comments here through like crazy now. So 13-year-old got gold in skateboarding. First ever gold in skateboarding, or first ever 13-year-old to get gold? Because that sounds pretty damn young. That's incredible. A 13-year-old gold medalist. Wow. That kid's got a future. Which is cool, because as a skateboarder, you know, not to be too generalistic about it, if that's even a word, but you know, he's either going to grow up as a stoner kid hanging out in skate parks, or he's going to be a gold medalist who's probably sponsored like crazy now, or probably both, actually. So which platform has the most comments? Generally Facebook. And I haven't gone to look at YouTube or LinkedIn yet, but there's tons of comments on Facebook. So yeah, the gear shortages. And, you know, I'm hearing a ton about it because, again, I, you know, we get the calls. GearSource gets loads of calls for this stuff. When a manufacturer runs out of gear, when it's a line that maybe you don't want to own. So like, you know, you're getting a spec come in for Martin and you're typically a Verilite house, for example, and you don't want to own Martin stuff. You might buy it used as opposed to going out and cross-renting it, because let's say something new is $3,000, used it's $1,500. And you can rent it out and collect $1,200 or $1,300 over the 8-week tour or something. You can then turn around and sell it for $1,500, and you're going to do pretty well on that deal versus paying it all out in cross rental. So that's why companies will come in and buy it used as opposed to cross renting it when they can't buy it new or whatever, right? People shortages is the other half of this. And we talked about it last week and we'll be talking about it forever. But you know, I'm seeing people get hired for more money. I'm seeing people get two or three jobs and have to pick between them, which is a pretty interesting problem to have. And, you know, I hope that keeps going. I mean, it's about time that people get paid in our industry, and I hope everyone's getting paid what they want. And I hope things are going to keep going in that direction. Obviously, there's going to be sort of a level out point in all of this sometime later this year, maybe early next year. Where everything's back to that weird word normal. And you know, then we'll see what it looks like at that point. But for right now, yeah, people are getting paid, it looks like, and people are getting jobs. I don't know too many people who want work who don't have work. I mean, there's certainly a few on the roadie side, because we're not at 100% as far as shows yet, but we're certainly getting there. You know, almost every company I talk to, their revenues back up close to 2019 numbers right now. But certainly there's a lot of different wrinkles in our business. There's a lot of different aspects of our business where, you know, some things like trade shows aren't really fully up to speed yet, but, you know, outdoor events are or whatever, right? So, and then the other thing, are there canceled shows or tours because of this new thing? And I don't even want to call it what everybody else calls it, but, you know, this new scare or this new uptick with these variants. But you know, is anything canceling yet? And again, post it in the comments. If I can see them, I will, and I'll try and talk back to you. But you know, I haven't heard of anything cancel yet. I've heard whispers of potential cancellations of some larger events. I haven't seen anything cancel. I know that Foo Fighters canceled a couple of shows because I think one of the guys in the band was sick. I don't even know if it was COVID, but he was sick. And I think out of an abundance of caution, they canceled a couple shows in California. But as far as I understand, they're back out now. I think their first show back is tonight, if I remember correctly. And it's somewhere in the Midwest. I can't remember. But I don't know of anything that's canceled. I'm actually going out to see a friend with Dave Matthews this week. I'm kind of looking forward to being out at a show again, which will be fun. It's in a shed in South Florida, so it's going to suck from a weather standpoint, but but I'm kind of looking forward to doing it. And I'm looking forward to seeing my friend. I'm going to take him out to dinner tomorrow night and then go see the show on Friday. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's cool to be back. That's for sure. It really is. I hope nobody gets too crazy with these new variants. I hope everyone stays safe first and foremost, of course, but yeah, I really hope, I hope everyone stays safe. So Marcia says, actually, another medalist in skateboarding was also 13, who was a girl and was a girl. Go girl athletes. Absolutely. Kick ass women. I guess the shortage is now among us and becoming a daily fact. Now, what do we do? Put tours on hold? No, of course not. That's why I said Vipers are getting hot again. And, you know, God knows people will be pulling out old studio colors and studio spots and doing tours with those. You know, who knows? I mean, we're going to cover it. I don't think anyone is going to stop a show because they can't get lights. There's always going to be lights somewhere. And, you know, one of the things I'm seeing a lot right now, and again, my company just did a liquidation of a rental company in Asia yesterday or the day before, where it's almost $1 million in product that's moving over to the United States. So it's American and European product. There's Roby stuff. There's all kinds of stuff in there. And a sound system, a big sound system in it as well. But that's all moving to the US because, again, people here need gear. In Asia, they really haven't gotten up to speed yet. So there's companies over there that are really hurting. So we're seeing a lot of gear moving around the world. It's a very nice time to have a global platform as we do, because we can manage those types of transactions quite easily. So anyways, I don't want to be doing a sales pitch here. That's not why I'm here. So what else? What else do we want to talk about? Anybody? Canada is opening August 9th. You must be happy. I'm very happy. I'm actually going to book a trip to get up to my place in near Banff in Canada, which will be very cool. Yeah. So I don't see anything else I need to answer to on these comments, but I appreciate all the comments and I appreciate everyone who's following. I am actually going to try to create a hybrid of this in the next couple of weeks where we can go back to our old Zoom call and have 50 or 60 people on all talking at the same time, but live stream it as well. And so I'm working on the tech platform to do that with, and it may be through Zoom, but it may be through something else connected to something else. So I'm going to work on that because I really do miss talking to everyone. And I hate weeks like this where nobody joins me at the front of house, because I don't like to do all the talking, believe it or not, as much as I get comments. I actually read a comment the other day, because I never, believe it or not, I never read the reviews. I never read the negative or positive comments. I don't get an ego from the positive. I don't cry from the negative ones, so it doesn't matter. But I was looking, somebody sent a message on Facebook asking me where the Mark Brickman podcast that I did with him on Geezers of Gear went. And so I was like, I went on to the Apple podcast thing and it was missing. I couldn't find it. So I went poking around and I ended up in the comments section, and there was a negative comment from someone. And, you know, I could guess on a hand of people, five people, I could guess which one it probably was, or one of those five anyways. But someone said, you know, I love the topics. I love listening in. I love following along. But, you know, basically Marcel's a blowhard. He says, I'm not going to talk about politics. Then he talks about his own politics and doesn't care about anybody else's politics. And, you know, I appreciate all comments. I wish I could have replied to the guy, because I would say, give me an example, you know, because I really try hard not to do that. And, you know, I know last year was a special year for everybody. It got a little weird. People got dark. And it got a bit crazy, and you kind of had to choose a side. And I tried really hard not to, but at times I probably leaned a little bit, because I always said, let's rip off the Band-Aid and get back to work. And there's certainly a lot of people that didn't like that. I understand, and I'm very sensitive to that. Oh, I'm not sensitive to it. I probably should be more sensitive to it, but I completely get it. And, you know, I apologize if I offended anyone with that, but I'm not going to stop talking like that, because that really was my opinion. It still is my opinion. You know, I won't even go into it because I don't want to piss anybody off today, but I felt a certain way. I said it. I don't think anything I said was offensive. This guy obviously thought I did. He still gave me, he gave me a shitty review. I think he gave me 2 out of 5 stars or something for a podcast that had nothing to do with politics or anything else, but whatever, you know, to each his own, I don't care. Fortunately, I don't make my living from these talks. In fact, they cost me money. I don't make any money from it. So that really is all I can think to talk about today. I don't. We don't want that. We don't want that. That thing just started talking. The other computer started talking. What's going on? Before I completely blow up here and screw everything up, I think we're going to go. So next week, I don't know if next week will be the week that I try to do this thing where I get everybody on a Zoom call, but it'll either be next week or the week after, I think. And I want to have fun with it. You know, I want to, before everyone is out working, because I know right now most people are working again, but I want to have fun with it. Maybe we'll make it short, 30 minutes instead of an hour or something, and just have fun with it and get a lot of the same usual suspects that we've always had on, get them back on. And, but yeah, again, I don't want to be the only one talking, believe it or not. I really enjoy talking with other people, and I like to have loads of people on, and I like to hear their stories and hear what you're up to and everything else. So that is really all I wanted to talk about today. And with that, I will say have an amazing day and be safe and be well.